Yaakov Avinu requests of his son Yosef that he should see to it that he's buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi quotes the Medrash that there are three different reasons. I saw Rishayim ask a kasha, which I didn't really understand. The Moshe Rishayim quotes this kasha, one of the Bavli Yosef. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Yaakov Avinu Anochi Ered in from the son of Anochi Al Kogam Olo, I will be with you and I will see to it that you will come back to Eretz Yisrael. So why was he so concerned? Why did Yaakov Avinu have to make Yosef swear that he's going to take care of it? Simna Yotchot HaChzirechi, to swear to him. Anochi Yishavea, he swears. What was the whole problem over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he's going to take care of it. So the Rishonim answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to see to it that Yaakov comes back to Mitzrayim, he could come back in the state of bones. Like Yosef knew that he wasn't going to have the schus to go back to Eretz Yisrael right away. So he had his children swear, he had his brother swear, at least in the Tatsmoisai means that he's, at the end of it, said Tatsmoisai means that he's only going to be bones, that his body is going to completely disintegrate, because it's going to be 100 years later, 200 years later. They were in the time for 210 years. So it's going to be 150 years later that he's going to leave. But Yaakov wanted to leave right away. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov he'll be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Could be that he'll be buried in the state of bones. That the body, it'll take 210 years. It'll take a long time. So that's why Yaakov was mishtarel to see whether he should be buried before he turns into bones. He should be buried right away. That's what the Moshe of Zikain calls. We showed him. I don't understand why this was a kasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises me that something is going to be taken care of. So I can just sit back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises me panos. Oh, so I just sit back and I don't have to lift a finger. Isn't it understood? Promise me how far now, sir, that it's understood I have to be mishtadel also. I have to go apply for a job and I have to work. If I won't apply for a job, I won't get the job. If I won't work, well, if I don't do the work, they're going to fire me. So it's promised doesn't apply. That's what it meant. Yaakov Avinu has to be mishtadel also to see to it that he should be buried in Eretz Israel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, Anochi Yaakov Gam Olam, I will see to it that you will return to Eretz Israel. But to say that because he had a promise, he doesn't have to lift a finger. I didn't understand why they even felt that was a kasha. Gemara has a comment on the pasuk on the Sasani Mimitzrayim. It says here in the Talmud Sarum, we're looking at Gemara in the end of Nozia. I have the wrong daf here. Gemara says that when you there's a mission on the last parak of Nozia, when you find a dead body, so you're not permitted to be mafana et hakev, you're not permitted to exhume a body, to dig out the body from one place and bury him in another place. Unless he was buried big zayla. Say, I have a field, and I've always plowed my field with everybody. I always had parties in my backyard, and then one fine day I find that someone buried a body there. They had no right to bury it. Big zayla. But if it's big zayla, then I have a right to dig and not move them somewhere else. Or if you're burying, or if you want to bury the person in Eretz Yisrael, and keep bringing others, there's a welcome design, a different deal in Yeridea, when you're permitted to move a body. So it says there in the Gemara in Saita, in the end of Nazir, in the last parak in Nazir, that when you want to move a body, you have to take Tfusas Hameis. There's a din of Tfusas HaKever, and it's a different din. We won't talk about that. That's a din that you have to take Dalal Amis. That if a mace is buried over here, so Dalal Amis near the mace is considered the same welcome as the mace. No direction within Dalal Amis to the mace is considered Tfusas HaKever. That's a din derabanan, that if you're within Dalal Amis of the mace, you're tomei me derabanan. And the third one, he told me if you either touch the mace or you mile on top of the mace. But this is the mace. If I put my hand on top, that's an act of ha'ahola. And the Rabbanan, they made a din that even if you're within Dalal Amis to the mace, Akzera that you may come so close and put your hand on top and you may not realize that you're being ma'il on it. Akzera even within Dalal Amis of the Mace. That's the din of Tfusas HaKever. The din of Tfusas HaKever is called the Tikkur Rabban Kein Deraita Tikkur. We found that in the learning Sanhedrin that it's rooted in a din deraita. There is a din deraita where you say that Dalal Amis around the Mace is Tfusas HaKever. The Gemara says on the Pasuk in Chumash, Tiyib Yish Chayt Mishpat Novus Vuhumas Vusavisa Oth Halef 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 Vusavisa But in my darshan, cover tigberenu, I write the darshan. Why is the kefal darshan cover tigberenu? But not only do you have to bury the person who was killed, the original parsha of Kvura goes on Haruge Bez. And then we have drosha that you even have to bury people who died a natural death, not only a Hanukkah death. So the Gemara Darshan covered the bread in the Kesel Lashon, the Bryce and the Gemara Sanhedrin, the men. Darshan covered the bread that you have to bury not only the maid, the Haruga says, and you have to bury him with the Suda Shenechan boy, or with the Sayyid Shenerak boy, or with, what else, Gila, with the Evan Sheniskabo. Whatever instrument was used to kill him, this Gila, you push him off of a high building, the Vayash Tekoma. If he gets killed by pushing him over, it's good. It's good. No good. But you guys said, in this Gila, you don't have to throw any stones on him. And if he didn't die yet, then you have to drop a gigantic stone right on top of the heart that he should die. But if he didn't die, if it was necessary to use Avonim in order to kill him, you have to bury him with those Avonim as well. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You bury him with the Avonim? You put it in the Orah? You put it right next to the Mace? So the Gemara says, no. You have to bury a Tertal and Amis of the Mace. So the concept of Tusas HaKever is Tatya Dinda Raisin. The application of that means a Tertal and Amis, Tomach Lemaze, is Mitzurah to the Mace. It's considered Mekoma Shalom Mace. The din is the din that rises in the gate of that Allah has covered the ground, and you have to bury the Siddush and Nechat story together with the Mace. And here is the din that Rabbanim, that they said, Tech Ta'olam is, there's a Tumim in the Rabbanim. The reason for the Gzera the Rabbanim was Shem Yahil Alameh, for Lo Miskaven, he won't realize that he's being Mahil Alameh. But they had it. So that's the reason for the din that Rabbanim. Then they had to give a Shir. So they say, they'll give a shear pattern after the din there, right? Call the tikra ban kain the rest. So that's one din. That's called tfusas hakever. Here is a different din of tfusas hamei. The end of Nazir, the Mishnah has that when a guy was buried, so they didn't do like they do today. The chavi kaddish does the tahara and they wash the guy off and then they wrap him up in tachrichim and then they put him in an oron. His manatanoim wasn't so. It wasn't always the practice. But Mishnah is talking about a case. You find the guy, I have a farm, I have a yard, whatever, and one fine day I wake up and I find somebody buried there. So what's going on? So he was buried there, the Xalus. I have a right to take him out. But then someone just buried a mace there, and fluids from the body are going to be seeping into the ground below. He wasn't buried in the Nora. He wasn't washed off with Tachrichim and all wrapped up and everything. So the Gemara says you have to be patient, and maybe blood was seeping out from the body, maybe other fluids. So the Gemara says up until 3 tefachim, the difference is this is tefusas hamace, it's not tefusas hakev. Up until 3 tefachim below, you have to be chayshish and take that with the maize and bury it somewhere else, because it's not proper to have half of the maize buried here and half of the maize buried there. That's how they have an achrenim, a chumra, that but if they amputated an organ from the body while the person was alive, they had to cut off a breast, they cut off an arm or a leg or something, and then they buried that. There's a chumra to bury that even though the person is still alive. The reason why they buried that, the Pizkichul quotes Nerdi Yehuda, most Achrenim hold, not like Rav Moshe Feinstein, most Achrenim hold like the Nerdi Yehuda, that there is no Chiyav Kvura, there is no Mitzvah Kvura and Eivon Achai. That it's just Mishum Chashash Takola for the Kohanim. That the Kohen is prohibited to be mitame to a mace. And an Eivim and Achai has the same tumor as a mace. It's mitame b'magal mas bohel. So if you're going to have this Eivim and Achai, they amputated a leg or an arm or something, you're going to have it around the house. So Kohanim are forbidden to be there. You're going to leave it just to throw it out in the garbage. So Kohanim may walk by and throw their garbage into your garbage can, and it'll turn out that they were just mahil ala mace. They were just in violation of the din of Tumas Meis. So you have to bury it somewhere, and in Beis HaKvaros, the Kohanim will know that they don't go there. You should mechashash takol of the Kohan. That's what it usually is. Moshe's time is that it's not so. Moshe says that it's Nishum Mitzvah Tvura. It makes a difference, but it has to be buried up in a Jewish cemetery, it can be buried in a Jewish cemetery. But if a person has a chalil or something amputated in the hospital, a leg and arm, so what does the hospital do with it? They bury it. Either they burn it in an incinerator, or they bury it in a cemetery. They throw all the junk in together, whatever they're not using. If you hold it as Tol Mitzvah Kvura, it has to be buried out in a Jewish cemetery. That's a Meshur Rav. And the other Achrayim hold that it's not Tol Kvura. There's no Mitzvah Kvura, only a Meis is Tol Kvura. But an Eid Menachai, just Mishum Chashash Takol Ola Kohanim. So as long as it's disposed of properly in some place where the Kohanim won't be there, so there's no Chashash. That's a shayla. So if the way the practice used to be, they used to bury it. They didn't incinerate it. They used to bury it, and then the person himself dies. After the person dies, is it necessary to take that limb that was buried in Baiberik and bring it over here to bury it with the body? The Achranim call it such a practice. The Mishum Kvod HaMeit, you have the whole meat buried together in the same place. That's based on this Gemara in the end of Nazir. So if you buried a body and there was seepage, part of the body liquid, part of the fluids of the body, deep down and got absorbed into the ground up until Gimel Tzvachim Ba'omek, and then you're moving the meat from one place to the other. So the proper thing is to take even the Tzvachim HaMeit also, in order that you shouldn't have half the meat buried here, half the meat buried there. Not the same as, not exactly the same as the minig that the Achrayim have, because the minig that the Achrayim talk about is that you took an Avram and Achai, but that didn't have the status of a mate. That's the Nikra didn't have any Nikvur. They buried it somewhere else, and then the fellow dies later, so it doesn't really say in Dim. A lot of it doesn't really demand, doesn't really require that you have to take the that limb and bury it in the same place where the body is. But that was the minig that the Achrayim mentioned. Some even have the minig by teeth, when the dentist pulls out teeth. Baby teeth fall out. Those of us who still have baby teeth, baby teeth fall out. So some say that you should be covered the teeth also, and then after you die, you should bury all your teeth together. You know. So it's not funny to say that that's for sure wild. Huh? Yeah. You hear Zichana? Where is there? Someone put into the Rashi on Yecheskel, I think. Tirish Rashi and Yecheskel put in parentheses. About the hair. Who was the Navi he was told to take your hair from? Yecheskel or Navi? I'm thinking Yecheskel. I'm supposed to somebody here who knows Tanakh. I forgot. I think Yecheskel took a haircut. So I think the Rashi and Yecheskel says no, and he took his hair and he drew it to show that the angel. So on the Rashi, on that Parsha, someone smuggled into Rashi a comment that from this Parsha you see that when you take a haircut, or let's say a person has a beard and some of his beard falls out, although it's a shave, take your beard out. So you shouldn't just throw it out in the garbage, you should collect all of the hairs and put them together in one place. Because the Chesed Navi was told to throw the hair as a symbol of Golus, that the Jewish people are going to be scattered all over. So that's a disaster. We don't want that to happen. Again, it's happened enough already. So you should take. That's why you'll find a lot of old Svarim. You'll find hairs from people's beards. It's all based on that. That's Chiddush Emunah. Pick up all of them. So they used to put away the hairs from the beard. All the hair, not only hair from the beard, all the hair from the head. Any hair that came off of the body, they would put together rather than throw it away. Yeah, someone put that into their Rashi and Yecheskel.
That's not
wrong. Yeah. How about it? So the Gemara has a comment in the end of Nazir that from this pasuk we derive this principle. When you bury me in Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov in the request of Yosef, he should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. When you bury me in Eretz Yisrael, you should take part of the earth of Egypt with me. Take me together with part of Eretz Yisrael, part of the offer. And Eretz Yisrael, and bury me in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rishonim ask on this pasuk, that Nicheh, that whole din in the end of Nazir applies if the fellow is buried over here. And then there was seepage of the body fluids into the ground. So when you transport the body, you have to take the omek gimel tzachim below the mate also, because it may be full of body fluids. But Yankov was never buried in Eretz Yisrael. They made a by chantu osa harofim. They bombed him and then they transported his body right away to Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean unas hasanim in Mitzrayim? So the Torah Shleimah has a long arichas dvarim on this. He quotes some who interpret that he was buried in Mitzrayim, that because it doesn't really say that in the Pasuk. I saw the Rishonim, and it's Zaz of Canaan. The different collections, quite a few collections of Bar Yosef, it's very interesting. They quote a lot of times names that are familiar to us, Bar Yosef that we're used to from Tesis on the Gemara. So he refers to his Tirish on the Gemara sometimes. He refers to the Chibur that he wrote on different Mitzvahs. So he says that Yaakov Avinu was sort of explaining to Yosef why he should bury him right away. It's like it's with the other hezbo that he gave. Well, was Yaakov Avinu worried about that? Rabbanu Shlom promised him Nochi Alcha Gamola. No promise. He says, no. Nochi Alcha Gamola, that may be we after 200 years, that they may bury me in Eretz Mitzrayim. And then the Rabbanu Shlom will keep his hafzach and keep his promise, and seek that I'll be taken back to Eretz Mitzrayim. That Yaakov tells Yosef, it's going to be a big pain in the neck for you. If you're going to rely on the Rabbanu Shlom's Haftocha, you and your descendants are going to rely on that after Lacham Masayim Shana, Lacham Ne'eviyasim Shana, 150 years after I die, then they're going to take me. Then they're going to have to take when a Sasani in Mitzrayim, you're going to have to take part of the offer of Mitzrayim also. So I'll recommend to you, don't wait till 150 years. Take me now, right after I die. And you won't have to take part of our farm Mitzrayim. So this pasuk is not that he's requesting of Yosef, when Sasani is going to take part of the offer. No. He's saying, I recommend to you that you should bury me in Eretz Yisrael soon after I die, so that you won't have to do an Sasani in Mitzrayim. Which doesn't sound to be the pshat and the pasuk. That's how he quotes the Balei Atos, it's a long shot. When it's a sign in Mitzrayim, if you'll bury me in Mitzrayim, then you'll have this Tircha Gedoyla to take part in Mitzrayim. So therefore not to bury me in Mitzrayim, and bury me right away. When Yaakov Avinu requested of Yosef that he should bury him in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't say a word about the death of Rachel. Says Yosef swore to him, Vayishova, Ishtach Yisrael Rosh Amito, he bowed down, Yaakov Avinu bowed down to the Shechina out of Hoidoya, thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then Yosef went home. Then it says a psucho, and you have a new paragraph, Vayhi Acharei Hadvarim Ha'elu Hayom Yosef Hinei Avicha Chayla, and he came a second time to visit the father, get a bracha from the father. And this time, he starts telling him, Meso Alai Rochel, the Eretz Kinan, Bov, Shiva Aseret, Lover, Frostbeck, Rosham, Adarcha, Ephraim, Ebeis, Lochem. And Rashi says, I ask you to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. You may wonder, father wasn't even Matriach to bury my mother, to take her into Eretz Yisrael. And I should go be Matriach to take my father from Mitzrayim all the way to Hebron. Quite such a distance. My father didn't even Matriach at all. But Rashi quotes from the Medrash, I know that you're a little bit, you have tarumis against me. Yankov tells yes, or no, you have tarumis against me. I have to tell you that it was al pi adibur. So Rashi says that the reason why he explained this to him now was that he shouldn't violate his tzavoy. He requested of Yosef that he should take him all the way to Hebron. So lest Yosef will figure, why should I do that? My father didn't take my mother. So the Rishonim ask on Rashi, these are two different stories. In the beginning of the parasha, it says, up until the Pesucha, it says the way he promised the father is going to take him to bury him in Hebron. And then this is another thing, that later on, and he went to visit the father, so this was later, weeks later, months later, years later. This is a later occasion. So why didn't Yaakov Avinu tell this to Yosef originally, when he made him swear that he was going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael? Should have told him at that time what happened with Rachel, why he didn't bury him. So that's why other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They say they don't think that that's the pshat. That the reason why he explained about Rachel now was because Shema Yesh Belibu Allah, why should you be matriach to bury me in Eretz Yisrael if I was matriach to bury your mother and so on. So that's why the Taka the Rishonim, the Balei HaTosfos, and the Sfarno on Chumash have a comment that they give a different pshat. That when Yankif is saying, Vayomer Yaakov al Yosef, Kel Shakai Niroi Lai Beluz Be'eretz Kinoan Vayivorech Osi. When was this? On his way home from Chutzlor, he was coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a bracha. At that time I already had, all of my children were born except for Binyamin. He was the only one who wasn't born. And Hashem gave me a bracha. He didn't even have to be still on the Satich of the Kala. I mean, we're going to have Shvatim. And the Satich saw it as well as Sarach HaKarech HaKazat HaLom. And then he says, Meso Lai Rachel. Then my wife died, and the only one who was born was Binyamin. That's why he mentions the fact that his wife died. The only other child who was born after this bracha, after this haftocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, was Binyamin. So that's what led Yaakov to wonder, how was this haftocha, how was this promise fulfilled? He was told in a satich al kahal amim, he was going to have more than one shev, he was going to have additional shvatim. So who were the other shvatim? So he understood at that time, and the last child was Binyamin, who's going to be the other sheikh? So he understood on his own that some of his grandchildren will be broken off to be declared as an independent shevet. So he says, "Shnei benacham, a lot of mechot be'aretz mitzvah by'aretz kif Ephraim and Manasseh, it's kiruv v'mishim and yiruli." I understand that I have the right to declare some of the grandchildren as shvatim. I'll declare your children. Ephraim and Manasseh should be considered children. That's how the Sfarno and the Bali Atosha say. That's why he mentioned over here Mithas Rachel. Because this was on his way home. Kel Shakai, Nirai Lai, Beluz, Be'er, Tzvan. By Baruch Hoshi, God, this Brach is going to have more than one Sheva. When the Satich of Kalam, and only Binyamin was born, so that's what led him to believe that he had a right to give this status to the children. With respect to what, do Ephraim and Manasseh have the status of the Shevet? So the Gemara has a Machlekes Abaye Verover in Masechet Hayrius. There is a din of Par Helam Novishel Tzibur that if the Bez Magal Paskina, a certain kind of Chelav is Mutter, it's Mutter depending on lights on Shabbat or whatever, and then the Rav HaTzibur violated that Issa Koreis, the Shoigig, based on the Psak of the Bez Magal. So the din is that the Bez Magal has to bring a Par Helam Novishel Tzibur. So exactly who is considered the Tzibur? So there is a Machlekes HaTanoim. Whether Tzibur means the whole Klal Yisrael, you say Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. So that's a Machlekes HaTanoim and Masechet Hayriya. And then the Gemara has a Machlekes Abaye Zerov on the last daf in the first parak and the Vov on the days. Do Ephraim and Manasseh have the status of Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol according to that time in the Mishnah, whoever it is, I forgot. There's a Machlekes HaTanoim in the Mishnah, the Meir and Reb Yudit. Reb Yudit says every Shevet has the status of the Kohen. Reb Meir says not so. Shimon also says every Shevet has a Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Different Tanoim hold that every Shevet, Shevet Echad Ikri Kohen. So Abaye V'Rav have a Machlekes, whether Ephraim and Manasseh also have this status. Omer Abaye, Ephraim and Manasseh, Kirub and Mishimon, Yehuli, Ephraim and Manasseh have the status of Kushvatim. And Rav disagree. And it seems that we assume like Robert, the Rambam Paschim's like, the Rambam apparently Paschim Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, and he Paschim's right on that Mishnah, and he's like Rav Yudah, Rav Meir, Rav Yudah, Rav Yudah, Rav Yudah, he Paschim like Rav Yudah, Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, and he Paschim's like Robert, that Ephraim and Manasseh are only Shvatim with respect to Nachla. Rav Omar, Rav Sir, Hashem Hachem Yikor B'Nachalotam. Why? So this Fano explains Achumish. That's then what the Gemara says there. Just repeating the Gemara in Hayriyas Davrov on the base. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him Unasatich alakal amim unasati yisarot azos l'zarach acharech ha'achuzat olam. He was told that he's going to have kahal amim. He's going to have several shvatim come out of him. And the shvatim on the Geir Ledina with respect to unasati yisarot azos l'zarach acharech ha'achuzat olam. With respect to halukas oret. But not with respect to any other halachas. So with respect to the din of Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol by Par Helam Novishel Tzibur, he'd been never told that he had a right to declare any of the grandchildren as Shvatim. Only with respect to Nachla. I think Gemara asks, so the Sfarno, that's only quotes. The Sfarno just quotes that part. He was only told, Kahal Amim, going to have more than one Shevet, and it's only with respect to Chalukah Saris. I think Gemara asks the Kasha, but it's not so, by the Chanukah Mishkan. Ephraim brought on one day, and Manasseh brought on the other day, and the seventh day and the eighth day, they brought separate, and the Golan they were separate. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's an exception, there's an exception, there's an exception. The Gemara makes everything's an exception. But fundamentally, they were only, this is totally Zed Zed, that's totally Zed Zed. The Gemara says, basically, Ephraim and Manasseh only have the status of a separate Shevet, an independent Shevet, only with respect to Chalukah Tor, the Nachlo. And the Chanayotam, the traveling in the Midbar is an army. The traveling in the Midbar is an army to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So since in conquering Eretz Yisrael, dividing the land, they're going to divide it with Shvatim. And Ephraim and Manasseh are separate. So even the traveling, the armies traveling in the Midbar also, Ephraim and Manasseh are separate. I, the Karbonis in the daytime, and the Mishkan, the Gemara Farempa is everything. Everything is totally Chalukah Torah. But when it comes to Par Helam Novishel Tzibur, that's not totally Zed Zed and Chalukah Torah, then Itaka didn't have the status of a separate Shevet. What does the pasuk say here that before Yaakov Avinu was about to make this declaration, he's going to use this clue that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him to declare Ephraim and Manasseh as two independent Shvatim, that he by Chazik Yisrael by Yeshev Al Hamito, that he strengthened himself to sit up. So Rashi quotes, because B'ni Melechu, my son Yosef is a Mishnah LaMelech in Eretz Mitzrayim, a Chalek LeKovid, you have to be Chalek LeKovid LaMalchus. Mikam shechok and kovin lamalchus, you have to be mechabed the melech. He moish shechol and kovin lamalchus, chen elio, vayishan es es mosn, elio, no, he was mechabed achot, melech rosho. Moshe Rabbeinu was mechabit Paro, he's a Melech Rosho. Achav is a Rosho in the Yod, Paro is a Melech Rosho. He even had to be mechabit a Melech Rosho. With the Gemara we learned in Sanhedrin about Chizkiyahu HaMelech Yir Atzma Sobe Almita Shel Chavolim. His father was a Melech Rosho. So after the father died, he was mevazah the father's body very much. The Rashi Frek Takasha. How could it be mevazah the father first of all? But Chibur Av, Mechabda Mechai Mechabda Lo HaMot. How could it be mevazah your father even after he died? Takasha number two. What about he was a Melech? His father was a Melech before him, before Chizkiyahu. How could it be mevazah the Melech? So Rashi says that the Halacha only applies if he's a Baal Avera, then the dinim of Kovod don't apply. So the problem is that Achronim has the kasha. What do you do with this pasuk? Rashi quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu was mechabed Paro, and Eliyahu Hanavi was mechabed Achal Parosha. That's why Yishana says Mosno. They were assuring to see that the din of Kovod HaMelech even applies to a Melech Rasha. So the Mahasham's brother was also a Talmud Chacham. He also has a Chidush HaTorah. So he suggested a Torah to distinguish between a Melech Rosho Bechayov as opposed to Liyach HaMoson. That the Pesukim that Rashi quotes over here by Chazik Yisrael, that Yankov Avinu was Mechabit Islam and Yisrael Tidu Zatari, Yisrael Zatari. But Moshe Rabbeinu was Mechabit Paro, and Elio was Mechabit Achov HaMelech, Yidu Rishoim. That's only Kvod HaMelech Nechayim. But Kvod HaMelech Lach HaMiso, that's limited after to Melech Mahuat Hamisim. If the Melech is Russia, then it doesn't apply. And then the Marsham writes in the Ha'oris and his brother's Kuntres of Chidush HaTorah that this distinction appears in the Yerushalmi and Megillah. His brother forgot. So enough in the Yerushalmi and Megillah that distinguishes between Mechaim and Melech Hamisim. A couple of years ago they had some kind of a contest. That was to write an essay about Ben Gurion. Whoever will write the best essay will win some kind of an award. So people were writing all kinds of essays glorifying him, what a great person he was. He did wonderful things, but he happened to have been a Sene Dat. He was an anti-religious person. Such a strange, he was like a Mishumad. Just like him, he became Amish and Mishumad. He joined some Indian religion. He did wonderful things. On the one hand, he did wonderful things, but on the other hand, he did terrible, terrible things to the Jewish people. But to be Mechabed and Mechaim is one thing. When he came here to Yeshiva University, so Rabbi Soloveitchik and Dr. Belkin were Mechabed very much. He was running the government in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't hold it as a Melech Tzadik, he held it as a Melech Rosha. But a Melech Rosha, Rashi says on this day, yeah, you have to be Mechabed and Mechaim. But Lach HaMosa, you're not allowed to be Mechabed for the first. Some say that that's the teretz on the Sira and the Rambam also. The Rambam has a dispute with the Tur whether the din of Kibud Avayim applies if the father is a Rosha. So the Rambam writes that Kibud Av applies even if the father is a Rosh. Jerusalem gives us a mocker at the Moran Perik Mesorah Mora toward the end of Sanhedrin. The Mora seems to say, might imply there that even if the father is a Rosh, it still is a din of Kibud Av. Even if the father is Wala Yishetish, Wala Choso, it's still a din of, and the kid is a Mamza. I was a Mamza who was born in this prohibited marriage, it still is a din of Kibud Av. Here the Gemara says by Chizkiyahu HaMelech Shigir Rat Misol Lamita Shel Chavolah, because his father was a Rasha. You see, when the father is a Rasha, there's no Kibud Av. So what do you do with that? And then the Gemara in Ezel Neshech, where it says the Farish that there's no Kibud Av. Father died and he left fortunes of money that he earned, that he gained by lending Veridus. So the Gemara says that children don't have to try to cover up on the father's bad reputation, Mishum Kibud Av, to give back all of their ribbis. The Gemara says, not Mechuyev, because the father was a Neino, he's a Maisa Amcho, he was a Baal Avera. You're not Mechuyev to observe Kibud Av. So the Torah disagrees with the Rambam. The Torah in Yeridei holds that Kibud Av says, there's no din of Kibud Av involving Rosh. What does the Rambam do talk about that Gemara in Perik Ezer Neshach? What does it do with the Gemara in Perik Ben Torah that the Yotameh points out? So some of them say that the Rama means to distinguish between Mechaim and Lachamosa. The Rama only says there's a din of Kibud Av if the father's a Rosha, Mechaim. But Lachamosa, there wouldn't be any din of Kibud Av. Same as the Melech. That's explained why. Why should it be a difference between Chaim and Lachamosa? If Kibud Av Lachamosa is only the Rabbanon, so then it's not so schwer. They weren't Machmas so far. So that's a Shaila and Achrenim. But the Kibud Av Lachamosa, the Gemara Kedushin says Mechabde, Mechaim, Mechabde, Lachamosa, is that a din deraita or a din derabbanon? You should assume that it's a real din deraita. should assume it's a real dindaraisa, keep it out of lahamot, hashayla nitshuvat maramshik. Sharis Yisrael, I think, right on the Mishnah is only midirabbanan. But if one should assume, like the maramshik suggests, that keep it out of lahamot is a real dindaraisa, so how do you explain? You have to give a hezma.
Why
would
it be
midirabbanan?
You need that to chayla.
See, the lotzah is a different thing. Lotzah is a nisah, but kibud is a mitzvah. To be mechabed, one could assume, like the Mamshik describes, is that it's a shibud. Kibud is a shibud ben on mechaber. You can't have any shibudim to a maid.
What kind of
kibud
can you do
to miss that before? Is that the nasi? No, kibud means to service the parent. Kibud means machilo mashkeh. How can you service? But that's what the other things, let's say, not to be mevazeh, and that's called mora. That's not really called kibud. Kibud means to service. That is one service appearance. So it's the Beis Yosef quotes from the Zohar that when the child says Kaddish or when the child davens Bar Nochmas, that that is matzil toided appearance from Gehenna. So that's mamish service. If one should assume, like that Zohar, that if the children service the Shliach Tzibur for davening and they recite Kaddish, and they can't service the Shliach Tzibur, they recite Kaddish, so it's Tanin. That's how the Zohar says, if the child is a Kotzin and can't be the Shliach Tzibur, so then he should say Kaddish. And if he can be the Shliach Tzibur, he should be the Shliach Tzibur. So if this is so, that this is pointed to the parents from Gehenna, so that's mamash a service. It's a big service. More than ma'achila mashkev. He makes life, he makes death comfortable. He makes death not miserable. That's assumed to be, strictly speaking, that's not really kibbutah. Kibbutah, strictly speaking, even while the parents are alive, kibbutah, strictly speaking, only means to do things to service the parents. Some say that that's included, some acharim say that's included in the mora of the end. Shalolister as dvara. If my parents ask me to do something and I don't listen to them, so I'm seiser as dvarim. I'm not obeying their request. Other rishonim disagree, mefurish, and they say that it's not so. My father tells me to go to medical school, I should become a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, something. I'm not obligated to listen to him. I have a right to lead my life the way I want. He tells me whom to marry, whom not to marry. He's going to run my whole life from it? That's not included, not in kibbutz, not in moira. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's not included neither in kibbutz nor moira. Unless the parents say, I don't want you to marry this person because that girl hates me. And the girl's going to have a bad relationship with me, or the in-laws are going to give me a hard time, because that's going to cause aggravation to the parents. But some of the parents want to have an international shidduch. They want to have a rich mechutzus from South Africa or something. So they want the daska that the child should marry this person, because they want this. So that's also service to the parents, because they want to have this. They want to dance at a wedding in England or in South Africa. The Pashtus is that that's not included in Kibbutah. Pashtus says Kibbutah only means mamish service to the parent within reason. But if my father's going to ask me every day, I should come to Brooklyn and wash negelot with him every morning. I should cook him a cup of coffee every morning. I don't live there. I live in Washington Heights. So that's unreasonable. If I live in the same house, then it's reasonable. I have the right to request. I should give him the service. So the Kibbutah strictly speaking means service. Achilo mashkeo, achilo. Mano, maniloi, machito, socho, mamish physical service. And moira means respect. You have to give respect. So to obey all of the instructions of the Pashtus. But it's included that it's assumed somehow that that's part of mitzvah lekandi remnik. That if a person requested something, even though speaking it's not kibbutah, so children usually follow it. Strictly speaking, it's not included in kibbutah. Yeah. I remember one Shabbos Aleichem, he was learning that Gemara. He was giving a shiur for the rabbinic alumni in the Beis Medrash. So he was learning the Gemara, so he said he thinks that it's lavdak and mechabda lachamot. He said, how do you have kovid lachamot? You only have mora lachamot. He thought that the Lashon HaGemara was lavdak. When it says mechabda lachamot, so it means mora. I remember one of the rabbinic alumni members there, Sakasha, on Kiddushin, on the side of the Gemara, they printed in the Vilna Shas, they printed the Tesis Shri HaZakim. So the guy raising his hand, he starts to say, Rabbi Soloveitchik, it says in the Tosafot Shri HaZakim, the same Girsa. says Mechabda Lahamos. And she started to scream, idiot. It says so in the Gemara also. It says Rabbi Yehuda does call it. I said it's Lavdavke. He said the Lashon HaGemara is Lavdavke. Rabbi Yehuda does call it the same also. It's Lavdavke. It's hard to visualize the Mechabda Lahamos. Unless you say like that Zohar. That one who, if the child can do something Lahamosa that will lighten the burden of the parents in Gehenna or something like that. But that's Mamish Kibbutz. It's real Kibbutz. That's more official. That shouldn't be called. That could also be more. We usually translate kavod as respect, but it's not really correct. That's not respect. More is respect. Kavod means service. So Rashi learns on this pasuk, that the reason why he sat up was out of respect to his son Yosef. This Barno has an interesting comment. He says, "Vayeshev al amito," because he was going to make a tzavua now. He's going to give something extra to Menashe and Ephraim. So later, whenever people die, they leave what will, so the children always, those who lose out, always dispute the will. And they say the guy was over buckling, didn't know what he was doing. I remember somebody called me up a couple of years ago. When Mr. Fink died, the one Mr. and Mrs. Fink, they gave all the money to the Fink chair. So after he died, he left something strange in his will. He left money to the seminary, because he lost the seminary. He was an Orthodox man all his life. He died in Rabbi Wolfson's shul. He came to Oblasti Marashi. What did he leave money? He left money to Lubavitch and to the conservative seminary. In the same will. But I didn't know that at the time. So someone called me up on the phone. They asked me, when was the last time I saw family? This was a lawyer. So I didn't know what I was in for. So he said, when was the last time that I saw Mr. Fink? Was he in his right mind? Did he they thought that he attended the weekly shiur that I gave him at Rabbi Wolfson's shiur. Did he attend the shiur in the last couple of months? I said, he never attended the shiur. He once came 7 years ago. He didn't come to the shiur. So they were trying to ascertain whether he was in his right mind at the time that he made the will. This is always a big tilpul. So the Sfarna says over here that lest there'll be a machlokes later, they're going to say that he was so sick and dying, he didn't know what he was talking about. So the Kumznish Ephraim and Menashe, they don't have the right to serve the Shvatim. So Yankov sat up to show, and there were people there. He says, I'm very healthy, I'm sane, I know what I'm talking about, I know what I'm doing, I know everybody has children and grandchildren, and I want Menashe and Ephraim to have the status of Reuven, Shimon, and Yuli. That's why it says, Chazik Yisov, Yeshev Al Amito, not like Rashi learns out of Koin HaMalchus, out of respect for Yosef. But by Chazik, to show that he's strong and healthy and sane in mind, that he knows what he's talking about. Rashi quotes from the Medrash. That the reason why Yaakov buried Rachel on the highway, Baderech, mamish on the road, as the bus goes by, right next to, if that's the Kever Rachel, so right next to the Kever Rachel, and the reason why he didn't bury her in a normal place was because it was Al Pi HaDibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's not really right, he should have buried her, she was the favorite wife, he should have really buried her in the Moris HaMachpelah. So this was Al Pi HaDibur because after the Churban Bayis Rishon, when the Jewish people will go into Golus, they'll be traveling towards Babel, so they'll be going on this highway, and they'll pass by Kever Rachel, B'hayodim Derech Sham, Yotzitz Rachel, Al-Kivra, Abaycha, Mevakesh, Salim Rachel, Shnemer, Yirmi, Olam, and Aleph, Kol B'ram, Anishma, Rachel, Mevakel, Al-Baneho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meshivi, Yesh Tzachol, Lufulatech, Um Hashem, V'shovu, Banim, Lugvulon. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that this was Al-Pi HaDibur. What kind of an answer was that? What's Alpia Diva said? Therefore, some interpret, you shouldn't have any tarumas against me. Yaakov says to Yaakov, you shouldn't have any tarumas. It's not my fault. The Rabbi Shalom told me I should do it. And others add on a little more than that. Not some you shouldn't have tarumas. What would be the whole mila of being buried in Moris HaMachpelah? Moris HaMachpelah apparently is a mokom muchon letzilah. Like the Gemara has. You go to be mispal by Kibbutz Tzadikim. it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim, so Yehoshua and Kalev went to Hebron to be mispalel by Kibrei Yavis. People got to be mispalel by Kibrei Yavis. So the whole Yichas of being buried in Maros Machpelah is that it should be a Makom Tefillah. So he says, wherever your mother is buried, that's the Makom Tefillah. Kever Rachel is a Makom Tefillah. That's why people daven by Kever Rachel. Because Al Pi Adibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that when the Bnei Yisrael will be traveling into, was going into Golus after the Churban Bayis Rishon, right after the Churban, the Rachel Mavak Al Baneh. The Rebbein Shalom said, "There's also a Makom Tefillah." So it's the Zelba Maila, the Zelba Yichas, to be buried here in Kever Rachel has to be buried in the Maros Machpelah. Because they're both considered Al Pi Din a Makom Tefillah. Keret Tzadikim is a Makom Tefillah. That's how we usually assume. All Keret Tzadikim are Makom Tefillah, not only Maros HaMachpelah. Al Pi Pashtus, you're right. Rashi comments on this pasuk. The Achronim have difficulty with the Rashi. I didn't even bother to bring your mother into Eretz Yisrael to bury her in Eretz Yisrael. She was buried in the Chutz Lord. That's what Rashi sounds like he said. So that's what it says in the pasuk. She died in Eretz Kanan. What do you mean he didn't bury her in Eretz Yisrael? She died in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rishonim after Kasha here, the Moshe of the Kenyan, and this one after Kasha, this collection, and he says that what it means is, like the Gemara has in the first paragraph in Gittin, that the Avayoris Amos Loz, the Tehra Krum. The Krum is very strong. The water doesn't always go straight. The water sometimes goes crooked. But you have a city over here, he says the Kever Rachel was like this. Kever Rachel was really a good slaughter. That sounds like a good slaughter. But since they were part of their itself, bones over here, bones over here. And if you were to draw a straight line, it would run like this. This would be wool of the Pesach Chumash. And that's why there's no steer between the Rashi and the Chumash. The Chumash says she died Meisalai Rachel Be'eretz Kenan. Rashi says she was buried in Chutzlar. It means she died over here in the Makom HaMuvla, and it was really Chutzlar. That's how the Bali Ataisis says. And the Mizrachi gives a different teretz. The Bali Mizrachi in the Sefer Chumash gives a different teretz than the Arami Prague on the bottom page. This is the Pirush of Rabbi Mizrachi. You ever see? Interesting. The top of the page of Rabbi Mizrachi, and the bottom of Gur Aryeh is the Arami Prague. Then you have the Sifte Chachamim and the Lavush. The Lavush always loses. Lavush on Shulchan Aruch, whenever the people don't enjoy reading the Lavush. It's printed on the bottom of the page. Ksiv Alo Kri. Printed like the Migdalos on the bottom row. It's always printed and no one ever looks at it. The others have interesting things to say. That Bel Mizrachi is always quoted, the Mishlam Melech quotes Kesedah from Bel Mizrachi. Not only in the Parashas Drachi, he quotes it even in the Mishlam Melech on the bottom of the Rambam. He quotes this Pirush of Bel Mizrachi all the time. Bel Mizrachi is known for this. And he also has Shabbos and Chuvis of Bel Mizrachi. But he's more famous for his Pirush on Rashi. So Bel Mizrachi has a teretz that the Marami Prague writes that Rashi doesn't mean that lo halachtiho lahachnisa la'aretz. It does mean that she was buried in the chutzlar. What kind of chutzlar? Kever Rachel is chutzlar. Now, what chutzlar? It was never chutzlar. It says he didn't bother to bring her lahachnisa la'aretz, to bring her into Beis Lechem, into the civilized part of the land. He buried her on the highway. Of course it was an Eretz Yisrael, but he didn't bring her into a normal cemetery. He buried her in an awkward place. He says that's the Pashup Shah. Pasuk says, that Yankov Avinu, before he died, wanted to give a bracha to Yosef. So he said, Vayivarech es Yosef. He gave a bracha to Yosef. What did he say? Vayomar. And he said, V'olukim asher salcha v'aysay lefanam avrom yitzchok v'olukim haro yisem v'yodeh yom azeh amalach ha-gotim kol v'yivorech ha-sanar v'karv hem shmi shem arat avrom yitzchok yidah rab kerevar. So that was the bracha to his children. That was the bracha to Menashe v'Ephraim. V'olukim asher salcha v'ayis etc. etc. yivorech ha-sanar. So Rabban Shalom should bless the children. So where was the bracha to Yosef? So some of the Rishonim HaChumash say, by Baruch Et Yosef, Masha Birchot, he gave a bracha to Yosef. Semicolon. Then by Yomar, then he said another thing, he gave a bracha to the children at all. So the bracha to Yosef is not mentioned. That's how the Sforno writes. And some of the Rishonim write like that. Some of the Balei HaTorah write like that. And some, and the Velt says pshat otherwise. The Darshanim say pshat otherwise. That if you want to give a person a bracha, so you say you should have a lot of nachas from your children. That's the bracha to the person. Your children, not only say you should have a lot of nachas, but a lot of bracha to the person. You should have nachas. You say your children should grow up to be talmidei chachamim and tzaddikim and yirei shamayim and yirei mishleim. So what's the bracha to me? Your children grow up to be tzaddikim. So that's the bracha to you. That's what adults interpret by Baruch Has Yisrael by Yoyma Hamalach Hagolosi Baruch Has Anorim, and that's your bracha. That's the best bracha to Yoyma. Sparno has over here the comment that he repeats later in the end of Chumash that he couldn't see well. Any so called the Mizoken Lo Yuchalira, he couldn't see well, but he asked. He asked by Yagish Oisimelov, he asked that they come closer to him. By Yishaklan, by Yechabiklan. He kissed them and he hugged them. What do you have to kiss them and hug them for? Zokter, in order to give a bracha, I have to be ponim. Can I get ponim? You have to face the person. But if you're blind and you can't see so well, so you want to have a tziruk with the person, so you hug the person, you kiss the person, and thereby you give a bracha. So the Sparno says, and that's why the Rabbanu Shalom requested of Moshe Rabbeinu that he should look at Eretz Yisrael. He wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to look at Eretz Yisrael in order to give a bracha to Eretz Yisrael. This is the bracha that he gave to Eretz Yisrael. Not only is Bnei Yisrael his name, also he gave a bracha to Bnei Yisrael. He gave a bracha to Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Sforno discusses there. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading with the Rebbeinu Shlomo Eberon of the era, the Sforno has a long arichas on this, in a few places in Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading, Eberon of the era, let me come closer to Eretz Yisrael, so the bracha will be more mekuyim, because the closer the Mevarach is to the Mizbarach, so the more the bracha will be, the stronger the bracha will be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, he's angry at Bnei Yisrael, that's why he doesn't want the bracha to be fully mekuyim. What was the bracha? So the Sforno has only the beginning of the pshat here, but in Dvarim has more. The bracha was, Barzon al-Choshes min alecho, chiam echo dovecho. That was the bracha to Eretz Yisrael, that the country should be secure. The country was not secure. It was destroyed at the time of Korban Bayis Rishon was destroyed. So he says, yeah, that's exactly what the Rabbanu Shlomo wanted. Moshe Rabbeinu should give a bracha, but it shouldn't be fully mekuyim. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have, the Midrashim say, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have crossed over the Yarden and then he would have given the bracha, Bikir of Makom, not that Moshe Rabbeinu requested that ever know the Yarden earth, let me cross over and be the Menahel of Bnei Yisrael. No, he was fine. Moshe Rabbeinu had to give the bracha b'richot makom, so the bracha wouldn't be fully chal, wouldn't be fully mekuyim. So the Sforno has the beginning is of that pshat over here on this psukim when he says that ayishak lahem, ayichabek lahem, in order to have a tzir between the one who gives the bracha and the people who are getting the bracha. What does it mean in the pasuk? Yikori Bohem Shmi Vishem of Isa Abraham Yitzchok. What kind of a lotion is that? Yikori Bohem Shmi. The Sforno has a very interesting comment on the pasuk. He says when the Gemara says that even if the Gemara Sanhedrin writes that even if a person is a Rasha Ben Tzaddik, you don't call him by the father's name. You call him Rasha Ben Rasha. So you dig up some ancestor in the family who was a Russian, you say, he's Pliny Ben Pliny. You go 5, 6, 7 generations early, he's Pliny Ben Pliny. Instead of saying Pliny Ben Tzaddik. And if a person is a Tzaddik, and his father is a Russian, the Rama writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, when you call up to an Aliyah, so you say, Yama Pliny Ben Pliny. Well, so the person is getting aliyah is obviously an observant Jew. He came to shul, he's getting an aliyah, knows how to say a bracha with the Torah. What if his father's a Russia? So the Ramah says the minig is you don't call him Pliny Ben his father's name, because he's a Tari Ben Russia. So you call him by the grandfather's name, either the father's father or the mother's father. Call him Pliny Ben Pliny on the grandfather's name. You don't have to say Ben Benayshal Pliny, because Bnei Ban Harin Kibon. So the Sfarno says when you give a name Pliny Ben Pliny, if the fellow whom we're speaking of is a tzaddik, so you try to give him a name Ben of a tzaddik. If he's a Russia, so you give him a name Pliny Ben Pliny of a Russia. So that's why he gave a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. So he said, "Declare Yehoshem Shmi v'Shem Avayis Avraham Yitzchok. Let your children be known as Ephraim and Menashe, the grandchildren of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yankiv, because we are tzaddikim. So they should be known as tzaddikim also. So they should be called tzaddik ben tzaddik. But if they're going to grow up to be rishoyim, then they won't be called. But they in Lashmani Adam, people won't call them the Einiklach from Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yankiv. They'll call them Rishia bar Rishia. So they'll dig up. They'll say Bnei Terach. They'll call them Bnei Terach or Bnei Saman Rovia, Bnei Lovon." Someone else in their ancestry, but they won't say Bnei Avraham Yitzchok Yankov. He says that that's the Pirush Amiras. The Kori Vohem Shemi V'Shem Avos Avraham Yitzchok, when they'll say Pliny Ben Pliny, let them be Zeicher that they should be known as Bnei Bnei Mishal Avraham Yitzchok Yankov.
What
did
Yosef? Hopefully you go to grandfather's
father. Yeah, no, Yosef is also outside it, fine. Also, same thing. Shimcha, they should deserve that they should be Nikla Shimcha, Bal Shmeinu. It's all included. Pasuk says that Yaakov gave an extra share to Menashe and Ephraim. Anina satim l'chashem achad shtem achad alachecha. He gives him an extra chelek. Kulot yatir. The Targum says, Vom shat is Shechem means the city Shechem, that Yosef should be buried in Shechem. And the Targum says, Shechem achad, Shechem means chelek. Chelek chad yatir alachecha. An extra share. He took away the Bchorah from Reuven, who should have been the Bchorah, and he gave it to Yosef. So the Sforno and the Bali Ataisis are bothered with their Kasha. Ramban is bothered with the Kasha. Isn't this a violation of the Yichol of Akrit Ben Ahu Alpnei Ben Asnua Bchor? The Reuven was the firstborn of Leah, the wife who was the Snua, exactly as it's described in the Chumash. And Levi was the firstborn from Rachel, and he loved Rachel more, so that's why he gave the Pishna, he gave the chelik, the extra chelik to the Ben Ha'avu. Ben Ha'avu isn't that a nisur of Lichol Avakia? The Ramban says it was al pi adibur, the Baruch Shem told him to do it. But the Sforno and the Bali Ataisis write a different answer. They say that the answer is given in the Pasuk itself. Amin esat buch Hashchem achar alach ha'ashol lakachtim yad v'ayimoyri b'charbi u'b'kashti. Who is the Amori? So the Sforno says the Amori is the big talker. Amor. The Amor says in Bob Matzi that Tzadikim do like Avram Avinu. Oymer miyad ve'esim harbe. And Rishoyim are big talkers. Oymer miyad ve'enem oysim afilu miyad. They don't do anything. Esav was the big talker, says Kitzai defi. He's always bragging about all the mitzvahs and afroshes, mitzvahs that he does, all the baloney that he does. So he says, that's a Russia, is a big talker. Shalakachta miyad hu Amori. The extra share that I bought from Esau, the Charbi of Akashti, I paid all the money, I got it. So there's no Easter of Havaras Nachlana. So they say, it's a strange idea, that if Avraham Avinu was a multimillionaire and he dies and he leaves his Yerusha to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak dies and leaves all his millions to Yaakov, so that money that Yaakov gets Yerusha from Yitzchak, from his father, from Avraham, from his grandfather, whatever he gets Yerusha, that's the deal. Yichol Avakar is Ben Ahuva. But what if Yaakov took money and he made a business deal? He invested it wisely. Not that he got a Yerusha from his father. He made a good deal. He took money and he bought things from Esav. He bought other things. So he says whatever he bought himself, whatever he didn't get the Yerusha, is not Dina Bisa Havaras Nachla. Attach to see that it's wrong. It's a din like that. Shalakachtim Yadu Amiri, whatever you bought yourself, so there's no Isra of the size of the Hashem Achad al Achecha, this only applies when you got the Yerusha from your forefathers. Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote such a thing. That's what they both write. The Bali Ataisis write like that. the Tosfos write that's their territory. Ramban talks of there is al pi adibur. That's why there's no violation. But the Balei HaTosfos write like that. That's what the Sfarno is quoting those Balei HaTosfos. So Lakachta Miyad HaMeri is the explanation as to why there's no Isur of Havoras, a violation of Pish Naim.
I couldn't understand that. Anything that is only applied when there was a Tzuwa and Ahuva and you're doing it as, in other words, they are doing it as punishment to his wife, who's discriminating against the child. But in this case, he was punishing the man. Wasn't that?
I think that's one could have said like that. I think that's also not correct. I think they're both not correct. Even if he's doing it as a punishment, I think it's prohibited. And even if it's not an Ahuva and a Tzuwa, there is even an Ahuva and a Tzuwa. I think they're both not al pi halacha and shulchan aruch, they don't distinguish. Then Yaakov Avinu calls all the children together. He says he's going to die. He wants to tell them, he's going to tell them what's going to happen. When is Akhras Hayamim? If he dies, that's Akhras Hayamim. Another couple of years, he sees him try. So the Gemara says Akhras Hayamim means the Yimoyis HaMashiach. So what does he tell them about Yimoyis HaMashiach? So the Rashi quotes from the Gemara in the Stalka Hemeneshchino, and he didn't bikish megalas asakets, and he wasn't able to, and he thought Shem Yesh Psul Bezaro. They must be that they're not worthy to know when Mashiach is coming, and then they all said Shema Yisrael, and he said Baruch Shem from Chusav Yavod. Everybody was all excited, and then he realized that the reason why the Stalka Hemeneshchino is because you're not supposed to be megalas the cave. That Kroid Lekim has to dover. This is one of the things that the Rebbe Shlom doesn't want us to know. That's what Gemara says, it's not proper to be, even those who know when the Ketz HaYamim is, they shouldn't be Mepharsim. That's what the Rambam writes in the Geras Teiman. The people who know when the Ketz is are not Mepharsim, and then he goes ahead to tell you when the Ketz is going. In his case, also wrong. The pester is. So that seems to be Al Pi Pashtus, the gist of this Gemara. And Stalkam and Ashchina, not because the children weren't growing, but rather because this is one of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to know when the Ketz is. He wants us to have a challenge. The same thing that Rabbeinu Shlom doesn't want anybody, David HaMelech wants to know when he's going to die. The Rabbeinu Shlom said also not. He wants people to have a challenge. Let's say the guy knows he's going to die today. He's going to die in an hour. So why should he bother to do anything? He's going to die now anyway. Why should he start preparing for any major enterprises if he knows when he's going to die so soon? Or a guy knows, oh, he's going to live another 25 years. So why should he bother doing things now? He has another 25 years to take care of it. So the Baruch Shalom doesn't want people to know when their end is going to be. He doesn't want people to know when the Ketz HaYamim is. And none of the people should have a challenge in life. It's not right. A lot of people, when they have sfeikus in life, so they always go to Chassidus Rebbe, and the Rebbe is always asking, should I marry the girl? Should I go into this field? Should I do this for a living? The Rebbe makes all the decisions for them. I would assume that that's not right. I would assume that part of the mitzvah of living is the Baruch Shalom brought us into the world. So living is to meet up to these challenges. The Baruch Shalom Medavke doesn't tell you when Mashiach is coming. Doesn't tell you when you're going to die. Doesn't tell you what you're going to do for a living. And he wants you to figure it all out. Not to go to a Baal Ruach HaKadosh and he should, if you're Amish stuck, Shasat Chagod, we'll have finished Kembrer. So then you go to the Rebbe. But under normal circumstances, it's not a shashasat chagol. So you work it out on your own. You figure out whom you're going to marry, and you figure out what you're going to do for a living, and you figure out whether you're going to go live in Australia, or South America, or South Africa, and you're going to live in New York, or so on. You figure it out on your own. It's pashtus. So that's what the Gemara says. But Eis Hashiikar Etchem Yachas Hayomim, it was Nistalka Hemenu Eshchina, and he didn't tell him. The Sforno says, no, he did tell him. He told him. He says that these three psukim and the end of the bracha of Yehuda, Pasuk Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis are speaking about Yimoyis HaMashiach. Ati Yavashil until Mashiach comes. Until Mashiach comes. That's what Rashi quotes also. Ati Yavashil. Until Mashiach comes. Velo Yikahasam Yud. What does it mean, Taka Pshat, in that Pasuk? But you also shave it to Yehuda. The Christians had a whole interpretation on this Pasuk. The Ramban has in his debates, he has a lot about this. The Christians interpreted that it means like this. But you also shave it to Yehuda, Adki Avashilo. The Jews will have a government in Eretz Israel, until Mashiach comes. Once Mashiach comes, that will be the collapse of the Jewish government. But the Kachabe, when Yoshki came, he was the Melech HaMashiach. Yoshi came, so that was the collapse of the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban and the others say that the dates don't exactly correspond. That it wasn't the same time when the Jewish government collapsed at the same time that Yosh became. Not Oizgahal. The whole thing is a joke. What do you mean? Lo Yosh is shaved Behuda. Had ki Yav Ashila. Does mean that? Means Afilu. Not the Jewish, the government of the Jews will always be from Shevet. He wants it to be. It's a broche. It's a request. Savuas Hazokin, the Ramban calls it. This was the request of Yaakov Avinu. He wants that the Melachim should always be from Shevet Yehuda, up until and including Ad Ki Yov Ashila. When Mashiach comes, he should also be from Shevet Yehuda. Mashiach is going to be from the Malchut Beis David. It's not going to be from some other Shevet. The whole pshat that they said is a joke. Aye, but we don't have a Melach. Are we talking don't have a Melach anymore? Well, Yosef Shevet Yehuda, how do we read the pshat? According to the Christians, there's Nisa. The Jews will have a government until Mashiach comes. When Mashiach came, there's no government. So we understand pshat in a positive. The false of pshat, we understand. The emes of pshat doesn't fit in. But Yosef Shevet, the government, there will always be a Jewish king up until, even up until and including the time that Mashiach will come. There's no Jewish king now. So how can you say, and we assume Mashiach didn't come yet. So how do we read the pshat in the positive? So the Ramban says it doesn't, this is not a blessing to the Jewish nation that we will always have a king. No, we had many kufas that we had no king. This is a blessing and a request, tzavoreh, regarding Shevet Yehuda. If and when the Jews ever have a king, so the king should always be chosen from Shevet Yehuda. But you also Shevet Yehuda, they shouldn't take away the Shevet HaMalchus from Shevet, from the tribe of Yehuda, up until and including the time that Mashiach will come. The Malchus should always be from Shevet Yehuda, but when you have no Malchus, you have no Malchus. He didn't say that the Jewish people will always have a Melech. He said whenever they have a Melech, the Melech should be from Shevet Yehuda. Either with times they took Shaul HaMelech, he was, what Shevet was he from? Binyamin. He was from Shevet Binyamin. So he wasn't from Shevet Yehuda. And then there were times that they had Shoftim, and then you had the Chashmonaim, were not... Not from Shevet Yehuda. So the Ramban Taka says that the Chashmonaim were Kidoshei Elyon, Chasidei Elyon, he writes a Lashon, but they were in violation of Tzavoas Hazokin. They were in violation of this Tzavoas of Yaakov Avinu, and that's what they were punished, and the kingdom was taken away from them. But from the Rambam it would appear, the Rambam, when he describes the story, when he writes up the story of Chanukah, right, that the Kohanim waged the war and they won against the enemies and they established a government in Eretz Yisrael and they appointed a Melech, and so on. He writes as if it was a wonderful thing. He has no critique against the Chashmonaim, the fact that they took over the king. The family holds that there's nothing wrong. Right, what happened to this Issa? So perhaps the Ram held that the Balei's Brewer, they were the best ones under the circumstances to fill the spot. There was no one else that was right to be a Melech other than the Chashmonaim. So that's why there was no Issa. Means if you can either make from Shevet Yehuda from another Shevet, so you should prefer to choose from Shevet Yehuda. Or perhaps the Rambam holds like the other suggestion the Ramban has. What about Shaul HaMelech? What about the Shoftim? So the Ramban says that wasn't really a permanent Malchus. That was initially only intended to be of a temporary nature. It's a little questionable how you read the Psukim in Novi. That's what the Ramban has difficulty with. The Psukim seem to indicate as if it's not for the fact that Shaul sinned by leaving Agag alive and leaving the mate of Hassan Babakar, his Malchus would have continued on and on. His children and his descendants would have continued with the Malchus. So how does that jive if the Ramban claims that was never intended in the first place, to be a full-fledged Malchus that should be everlasting? The Shevet, Liyasa Shevet Mehuda, means the Malchus that should be transmitted to the next generation and so on. That's a problem. That's how the Ramban interprets the pshat. Whenever there will be a Malchus, so Yaakov Avinu requests that the Malchus should be from Shevet Yehuda. But the Tzvano says that al pi pshuta shel mikra, you don't have to say that it was nistalkum en eshchina, he never got to discuss what he had in mind in the first place. No. He says, I'm going to give you all brochas, and amongst the various brochas, I'll tell you some of the secrets, what's going to be the Moisa Mashiach. What did he tell him? But he said five different things. Osri la gefen iro and pasuk yudalef. The Tzvano writes, "Miyotos also Hamashiach hu." He says, "Echod sheni shlishis revi'i chamishis." He has 5 points that he brings out. Echod number one, shigale al ayor ben asan. Osri la gefen iro. Iro is a mule, a donkey, something like that. That the Melech Hamashiach, it says, is going to be ani bereichav al hamor. He's going to be a humble person. Ani means an honor. That's a pasuk in Zechariah. Ani means a humble person. But Reichav Bala Hamor, riding on a donkey. Why doesn't he ride on a horse? So he says, no. Because the pasuk, there's a melitza in, where is it? Sus mucham liyam mocham. It's a pasuk somewhere. It's a pasuk somewhere in Ksuvim. Sus mucham liyam mocham. A horse, years ago, today when you go to war, so you go with tanks, or you go with bombers, or jet bombers. But years ago, in biblical Hebrew, sus is reminiscent of waging a war. So the Melech HaMashiach is going to represent, he's going to symbolize an era of peace. That's the whole Yichus. The is going to be a period of peace. So that's why Bedavki, he will not ride on a horse, even though Paul Revere rode on a horse. And other people rode on a horse, nothing to do with that. Paul Revere was involved in the Revolutionary War. Who was it? Even though other people ride on a horse to deliver the mail? No. Mail carrier rides on a horse, other people ride on a horse, not l'shem l'chama, but the word horse, the idea of sus in Tanakh represents sus mucham l'chama. So the Melech HaMashiach is bedavki going to ride on, he's going to ride on an ayur, that he should represent peace and not war. Aye, but there is going to be a Melchemes Gogol Magog, so he says, yeah, ki kratiyah nishlemes ha'idei ha'kel yizbarach, hu yeh l'melech b'shalom, the war will be over when the Melech HaMashiach will be in his gala. The Melech HaMashiach, the Gemara says that the Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed in the Melchemes Gogol Magog. It's a tradition that they have. The Tzukim in the Tanakh never says a word about it, Mashiach ben Yosef. But in the Zohar there's tons about Mashiach ben Yosef. The Gemara is one place in Sukkah. Gemara at the end of Sukkah says Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed in the middle of Melchemes Gogol Magog. Again, after that, the Gemara doesn't finish off, and the rest of the Zohar says, and after that, the Melech HaMashiach will appear after the war is over. So that's what the Sfarnos says. Melech HaMashiach won't be involved in the war. He'll be after the war. Ki kratish, kratir nishlemes aydei hakel yizbarach. Hu yeh lemelech b'shalom. Melech HaMashiach will rule over peace. The shame is, there are five ideas here regarding Yimayis HaMashiach. Eis HaShikir Eischem Yachas HaYamin. That says he will tie his donkey onto the Geffen v'lasareka b'ni Asono, etc. Shane is, sheyetzer osa ho'ayir ala Geffen v'lasareka b'ni Asono. What does that mean? I mean, that things are going to grow well. I don't know exactly what it means. But everything so will be blossoming. Shlishes doesn't spell it out what it means, unless there's something missing here. Maybe that's what he means. The things will grow well. Shlishis me'ososo, one of the simonim of Mashiach hu, sheyikshor chamoro haniske v'yiyah mishkona v'shuruk la'soreka, suruk, b'ni asana, what's a soreka? The better kind of grapes. Shehu mibcha ha'gefen. What does that mean? That Mashiach will hang out with the tzaddikim. He's going to be buddy-buddy with the tzaddikim. Shouldn't think, Melech HaMashiach is going to be a king, a government. Who is a government? People. Begin, Ben Gurion, these kind of people, Shamir, Shtach of people, not so religious. Oh, even if Yisrael, Melech HaMashiach will be a little more religious. How religious is going to be? So we assume, no, Melech HaMashiach is going to hang out with the tzaddikim. The Rambam says it's going to be a big tzaddik and a big Talmud Chacham, like David HaMelech, like Shlomo HaMelech, greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam might believe, I think, greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, or something like that. The Chacham, Gevaldik. That's what he says, that the Melech HaMashiach will be b'la Soreka b'ni Hasan. He says, Soreka is the Mivcha HaGefen v'zeh sheyoyer pana b'la tzadikim shebedor v'lo l'chol HaGefen. He's going to associate with the big tzadikim and not with the rest of the Gefen, not with the Hamayin Hamin. He'll be a chashuv person. Not like the Israeli government now. I don't know. Sheyoyer pana bela tzadikim shebedor velo lechol hagetan. Okay. Maybe he just needs to be covered. He doesn't really stand up. Kibes bayayin levusho reviyis miyotzot etiyah sheyuchal lechabes levusho bedam sono. That he will succeed against all of his enemies, that he will wipe them out. Chachlili einayim miyoyim, that he'll win all the wars, in other words. Chachlili einayim miyoyim chamishis miyoistos of tiyya. And the fifth sim, and the fifth idea is, he says there are five voices. Chamishis miyoistos of tiyya, sheyigdal sova, shalokim in hoga shal olam. Kamoro yehi pisas bar ba'oret, b'rosh harim, yirash kalvon apirio. He says that the fifth thing, there'll be a ribuy of food, a ribuy. What exactly are the five things that become clear here? Nachali says the first one is there'll be a peaceful era. So ride on a donkey as opposed to a horse. The second one is Elagefen. He doesn't explain what that means. The third is so he'll connect himself with the Soreto, Velo Lechol Agefen. And the fourth one is he'll always succeed against his enemies. V'dam Anov Mesusa means that he will wash his clothes in the blood of his enemies. And the fifth one is that things will be growing with a tremendous sova. No. Anyway, the Sforno says that that's what he's talking about. That when Yankov Avinu said in the beginning, he's going to tell him what's going to happen. It's a shiikres and yachres hayamim. He did say it. Not the stalk man Ashkin, he never got to say. He said it in the Baruch of Yehuda. Reuben was supposed to be the core and get everything. He was supposed to get the malchus and the kahuna and everything, and then he lost it because of the sin that he did. What exactly was the sin? So the pasuk says earlier. The pasuk says in Chumash. He sinned with his father's pilegus. Vayelach Reuven. Where is it? Near the end of Lamed Hay. Vayelach Pasuk, we are men who have what exactly did you do? So the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, here it says Shabbos Nunhei in the Toldos Ha'Akolaimer, whoever says that Reuben really sinned by sinning with the father's Pilegish is making a big mistake. So what is the problem in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says that he did something wrong. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Bilbali Tzuyaviv, that he moved his father's bed from one bedroom to the other bedroom. Some Achronim quote in the name of the Ramah that he interpreted Pshat like this. That on one occasion, on one evening, when Yaakov went to go to sleep in the bedroom of Bilha, Vayelach Reuven, Reuben started to walk. Reuben was walking nearby. Reuben was walking near that bedroom. And the father heard him. And then he was pirish from having tashmish with his pilegish. Vayishkav is bilha pilegishav. Doesn't mean that that's what Reuben did. Reuben was vayelech Reuben. And vayishkav is bilha pilegishav. It means that that the father was with his pilegish. Vayishma Yisrov. He heard. Yaakov heard that Reuben was walking. He thought that everybody was sleeping. When everyone was Reuben walking, so then he didn't have tashmish with his wife. So that was the avlo, that was the avera that he did. So the story goes that the Ramo had a dream that night, and the Reuben came to him in the dream, and he gave him the ashikara, that he was ma'atav tishkusa, that that's the pshat. But that's what he really did. Luke. Strange interpretation.
What was Yaakov saying?
I don't know. Must have done something, whatever he did. You don't know. Here, Yaakov Avinu says about Shimon v'Levi Achim Klei Chomus Mecheres and Besoy Dem Alta Avinav Shebekolam Al Techa Kvoidi. So Rashi says when they Miyaches Zimri Ben Solu, it doesn't say like Siv Ben Yaakov, and by Koyrach it also doesn't say Ben Yaakov. Korach Ben Yitzchak Ben Kohath Ben Levi, and doesn't say Ben Yaakov. Why? So the way that Sparno said before, that's exactly the idea. He says, I don't want to be associated with them. If the fellows are Rashis, they call him Rishia Bar Rishia. You don't say Rishia Bar Tzadik. That's like he called Abraham Shmi. He only wants his name to be included in the other one's name, Pliny Ben Pliny, if the Enikloch are going to be Tzadikim. Zvulun and Yisachar, who was older? Yisachar Zvulun. Yisachar was older than Zvulun. And that's what the Rishonim ask over here. How come the bracha is out of order? First the bracha is given to Zvulun, then the bracha is given to Yisachar. So the Rishonim say, because they made an agreement, they made a deal between them, that Yisachar would learn and Zvulun would support him. That's why you mentioned Zvulun first, because the main Kamach ain't Torah. Those who are supporters of Torah get more cover than those who learn the Torah themselves. And there's nothing wrong. The Torah itself gives more cover to those who support the Torah. So the Sfarno writes on this pasuk an interesting Russian, and that's the whole institution of Trumas HaMaisus. We were discussing just yesterday. Trumas HaMaisus is in order to support Shevet Levi, the way the Rambam describes Shevet Levi are those who not go leave on to sit in the Torah. Or Trumas HaMaisus is because why not L'chelek Baretz. So this is to make up for the fact that they didn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Or is it because chelek habedas from the oil mine? Because they're doing avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. So they write it right because la not the chelek bar. The Chumash writes because chelek habedas from the oil mine. The Ketzos makes the whole arichas on that. The Ketzos and Reishman Gimel says that that's the halacha that it's chivis poilem. All matan chulam is chivis poilem. Not sama matona haknoa. And the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim writes the same as the Sforno on this pasuk, that the institution of Matan Skuna is because we have to support the Loim Deitairah, the Shevet Levi, the Klan Menorim are supposed to learn. They're supposed to be the special people who are supposed to preserve the Maser. That's why the Rambam quotes from the Sifri that there's a mitzvah l'chatchila when you put together a Bezdin, there's a mitzvah l'chatchila to, if, whenever possible, to include as members of the Bezdin, Kohanim and Levim. Machazikim Bo also refers to the Machzikei Torah. Doesn't refer to the Lomdei Torah. Don't the Midrashim say that also goes? The Lomdei Torah, not the Machzikim Bo. Tamchel, same thing. They both go on the Tamchei Torah. Right. Mm-hmm. There is a Mishnah in the beginning of Zvachim where it quotes Hanan Yachi Rabbi Yeshua. No? What's it? Satana, who's hardly ever mentioned. He's known by his brother's name because the brother supported him. Later, it is sure you're going to come and spot him. That's not. Shimon Achi Azariah. Shimon Achi Azariah. He has a sheet that we don't pass by. He has a sheet. So the Gemara says, why is he known as Shimon Achi Azariah? Why don't you say what his father's name is? So the Gemara says, because his brother supported him. Rashi quotes it. Hashem Shazariah also said, Prachmatia, the secret, Tzorche Shimon Achi, the Shoshah, Rashi Batur, the Histon Miriam, they made a deal. Shechelek Lazari, the Tzar Talmud Shal Shimon, as it says in Sayyid Azaf Kafalim. But you can do such a thing. It's a recommended thing. It's a recommended thing to make those who can learn should have to learn, and those who cannot learn should be Tanchei Torah. It's a tremendous mitzvah. So that's why the Rishonim say that's why Zvulun is given the bracha before Yisachar. Why does it say Yisachar Chamor Gorem? Poshim Shad, what in Yisachar Chamor Gorem? He was a bony donkey. Why is he described as a bony donkey? So the Sforno has again, a donkey means not a horse. A horse means, represents war, and a donkey may represent peace. So he says, Dilti Mukhan Lamachom. Ki Amarim, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Yitzayfa Lo Safra. Yisachar are the people who are sitting and learning. So the Gemara says, HaSefer, if you're the Kruchim in Hashemayim, that's the Gemara with the Zohar in the first parish. So it says there that people who go to the army don't know how to learn. That's what it says in the Gemara. That's what they say in Panavish also. The other issue is people go to the army don't know how to learn. And people who know how to learn don't go to the army. He's safra loy safra. So he interprets that that's why it says by Yisachar. Yisachar with the one who said learn Chamor Gorim, he's like a donkey. He's not like a horse. A horse represents war. He says the people who learn don't go to war. Unless you need them. You need them, you have no prayer. The Rambam quotes the Sifrei, but based on Pesukim Mechumash. Also, a kind of Ovim, Shiva the Shiva Yamamanim, so that the mitzvah of Hapsila to appoint as members of the Dozen Kohanim Levim, but part of the function of Kohanim Levim is to preserve the Master. They're supposed to learn. That's exactly why the Rambam writes more in the Bukhim. We have to give them Matnas Kuna to support Torah, the whole institution of Matnas Kuna to support the Kohanim. The Chavetz Chaim has a long arichas on the pasuk. Vayam menuchah kitovus haaretz kinoema vayitshich malduzba vayhi lemas ovei. That it goes on learning Torah. Vayitshich malduzba ol haTorah vayhi lemas ovei. That people have to learn even if they find it unpleasant. And even if they find at first that it's very uncomfortable and they really don't understand what's going on. And they don't enjoy it at all. But in the end, it won't be suffering. In the end, they'll understand and they'll be matzliach vayhi lemas ovei. But all of learning has to begin like that. A person has to learn, even if he finds it very difficult. The Osher Shmein Olachmo, Afrenim write, must be from a Kabbalah source, that the word Shmeino is the same osius as Mishnah. That Osher is the Malach HaMamuna, Osher Ben Yaakov is the Malach HaMamuna on Limud HaMishnayis. That those people are Mishnayis, when they die, so Asher will see to it that they won't go to Gehenna. Some kind of a chashivus to learn Mishnah. It's very important. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells you the Seder how you're supposed to learn. From the age of 5 till 10, you're supposed to learn Tanakh. From the age of 10 till 15, you're supposed to learn all the Mishnahs. Shishis of the Mishnah. And then from the age of 59, you're supposed to start learning Talmud. You're supposed to learn the Amkus and the Havana of the Torah. But the Mishnah gives you a Seder, a program, how to do it. We have been violating that Seder for several hundred years, for a long time already. So the Tosfos Yontif in his commentary on the side of Mishnah, he quotes his Rebbe, the Maharal Mipran. He was a Talmud of the Maharal Mipran. Maharal Mipran was not some darshan, a philosopher. He was a big Talmud Chacham also. He was the Rebbe of the Tosfos Yontif. So he quotes that his Rebbe, the Tosfos Yontif, was always complaining about this. That his Rebbe, the Maharal Mipran, was always complaining that we have neglected the old system. We have to go back to the old system. To learn Tanakh first, and to learn Mishnayis, and to learn Talmud. The Nachlos David was the Talmud from the Balazan Yeshiva. He learned by Rav Chaim Balazan. The one who wrote the Nachlos David on Bavakam and Bavatsiyah said he learned by Charusa for a while with another Talmud Chok, another Adam Golem. The one who has the story about the Knedel in the window. Rav Chaim Balazan came once to ask the Gro if you're allowed to eat Gibrox. And he told him that the Chassidim are marked not to Gibrox. So he said it's baloney. Ron said, if the Chassidim do it, must be that it's wrong. The other way that it's wrong. And to show that he doesn't hold from the Gibrox Chumra, he put a knedel in the window. Everybody should see that he does eat Gibrox. So this story, it's a true story, this story is only quoted in one Sefer. All the others are quoted in that one Sefer. That Sefer was written something, Afikya Yehuda or something, I forgot about the name of it. He's the one who learned the Harusi with the Nachman Zavar. He writes in the introduction to the Sefer. With the Nadab, they're going to learn together for 6 years. And they're going to go through Shas. The first year they're going to learn Brachas and all of Zeroyim with all the Rishalmis and all the Rashis and Mishnayim. Then they're going to learn Moed for a year, Yashim for a year. So he says that they learned together for 2.5 years and they weren't 2.5 years worth finished. They were behind in their program. And then the Nachman David, his Chavrusa, got a letter from Rav Chaim Volozhin that he needs him back in the yeshiva to say Shiurim there. So he left and that was the end of the Chavrusa. So he has one Sefer on all of Shas. It's Afikya Yehuda, I think it is. I think the name of it is. As one, not such a fat safe. One safe on all of Shas. So he writes in the introduction that he learned with the Nachman Zav. Nachman Zav knew how to learn better than he writes. Why? Because he was brought up in a city that was closer to Vilna, so the Hashpoah of the Derech Halim and of the Vilna Gaon was felt more. I was brought up further away from Vilna, so the Hashpoah of the Gro didn't yet reach my city. I forgot where he was brought up. And he writes, and what was the Hashpoah of the Vilna Gaon? So he says, that's the whole thing. That you first learn Tanakh, then you learn Mishnah, then you learn Gemara, and then you learn Shulchan Aruch. Because if you do it the way they were doing it for centuries, you do it the way you have, let's say, in Williamsburg, in Stockton, and all the Chassidish places, and all the places. You have children, before Bar Mitzvah, can recite by heart a Shachan Yeredeya, a Tazan Shachan Yeredeya. They never learned the Gemara. They don't know where the Gemara, they don't know what Chatichan Asver, Tam Kike, Hetman Stav, they don't know where these things are in the Gemara. They first learn the Shulchan Aruch with the Shach and the Taz by heart. They know that by heart. They never let them turn the Beis Yosef. So they're memorizing all this, and then they're bound to have misunderstandings there because they don't know what it's based on. So you conjure up in your mind the whole Pshat, oh, you figure out the background must be a whole picture. And then even after you relearn everything later, you're going to learn the Gemara, then you're going to learn the Mishnah, then you're going to learn the Chumash, the whole Tanakh, everything is going to be kakai, because you started off on the left leg. You start learning everything wrong. That's what the Glen was marked with, like the Maram Prag. You have to go in order. You have to first learn Tanakh. It's important to learn Tanakh. A lot of times people develop all kinds of hashkofas, hayahadus, what the Jewish view is towards things. Then they're surprised to see that that's not what it, it doesn't correspond to what it says in Tanakh. If you want to know what the Jewish view is, you have to study Tehillah, Mishlei. To study Nevi'im. Nevi'im also have a lot to say about Hashem. You have to learn Tanakh. And Mishnayis is an important thing. You've got to learn Mishnayis. Anyway, whether it's Asher who's Mamuna, it's not Asher, it's important. The Chafetz Chaim quotes this also from the Sefer Kabbalah. It's interesting. Some of the Bali HaTesis points out by each one of the children, his name is mentioned first. First comes Yehuda. No. Not Yehuda first. Ruvain, first he says Ruvain, then it's Hashem Levi. Each section starts with the person's name except for Yosef. He says, Bein Paras Yosef. Why doesn't he say Yosef? Bein Paras Ato? Like every single other child. So the Bali HaTesis say, because Yosef was the Melech, he was the Mishlam Melech. It's not right to call him by his first name. To start off calling by his first name. So at first you introduce the discussion and then you throw it, then you drop his name in the middle. An interesting Haragosha. Bonos Tzoado, Ale Shu, difficult psukim. Why Bonos Tzoadu, should say? What's up with Tzoado? Should say Bonos Tzoado Kolachas Vyachas Mehem. Shver Reposik. By the Prime of Nash also Shver, the Rishonim have difficulty. It says, Bechor Yivorach Yisrael Lehem, if you sin, Kalakim Kefam. What's up with Bechor? Should say Bochem. He's talking to, about the Prime of Nash, means Bechor, means Yosei. By Yivorach Es Yosef by Yoimar, there's a bracha to Yosef, and he says, Bechor Yivorach Yisrael Eimar. Bechor means Yosef. Shver, the Rishonim say Bechor should have said Bachem, because he gives Shver a Terutim, why it says Bechor. So it's a very difficult construction of a pasuk. And the last bracha was to Binyamin. He was the youngest of all of the shots. The Yomin Zev Yitro, Fabuka Yachar, Vala Erev Yichalak Sholom. So the Targum Unkelis comments on that passage. The Gemara quotes is Targum Unkelis in Zvochim. That this refers to, here it says in the Talmud Sanhedrin, Zvochim Nun Dalet. This refers to the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is refers to as a wolf. Just like the wolf is an animal of prey that eats up sheep. So to the Mizbeach, eats up the Korbanis. Fabuka Yachar, Vala Erev Yichalak Sholom. Eats the Talmud Shal Shach and the Talmud Shal Bein Abayim. That's why in Dev Zach in Masech HaSukhe, the woman referred to the Mizbech as Lucas Lucas, like Masach and Machal and Mono Shal Yisrael. She was angry at the whole Beis HaMikdosh, the whole Avodah Zarah, so she called the Mizbech Lucas, which is a wolf in Latin. Why did she call it a wolf? Because that's what the Torah called it today. But she was angry at the whole Jewish religion, so she was saying everything in secular terms, so she said it in Latin. She would have said it in Hebrew, Zay, that's the way the Torah describes it. There's nothing wrong with that. If you call it a Beis HaKnesses, it's okay. If you call it the synagogue, it's not so good. Call it the Yarn Kodesh, that's okay. Call it the Holy Ark, sounds up a straight. Sometimes you say the same thing, you say it in the original Hebrew, it's okay. You say it in translation, it already loses its sound goyish. So when you call the Mizdeach Zev, the Torah calls it Zev. When you call it Lucas, that's a simon that she was a Mishumedes. So the Gemara says that the Mizbeach had to be built after the Chelkos Shel Tarish. That the border between Yehuda and Binyamin cut right through the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach was built over there. And the entire Mizbeach had to be built on Chelkos Shel Binyamin. That's when the Mizbeach was missing part on the bottom. It wasn't a complete square. A section of the Mizbeach didn't have any Yisod on the bottom, because if it would have had a Yisod, that Yisod would have been the Chelkos Shel Yehuda. Tosis is bothered with the kasha that the Gemara has in Machlokes HaTanan. We pass from that Yerushalayim loin es chalkol l'shvatim. So if it's loin es chalkol l'shvatim, so what is the Gemara talking about? That the border between Yehuda and Yom crossed through the Azorah, and the whole Mizbeach has to be l'chalkol shel Binyam. But it gives a difficult teret. I seem to recall vaguely that Rav Soloveitchik once said that there are two dinim in Chalukas Aretz l'shvatim. That there's one din when you divide Eretz l'shvatim, So this is called Chelko Shel Yehuda, and that's called Chelko Shel Binyamin. The Chepta is different. It's not like when I own a Sefer as opposed to when you own a Sefer. It's not a change in the Chepta. Now it's mine and now it's yours. That's a relationship. Who owns it? But the Chepta remains the same. With the one exception of Hegdash. When Hegdash owns something, then it has Kedushas Hegdash. So here, in Eretz Yisrael also, the section that's Yehud and the section that's Binyamin is Al-Pidin, a different section. So that's one din. That Eretz Yisrael had to be divided among the various Shvatim. And then, not only did they label it as Chelka Shal Yehud, Chelka Shal Binyamin, then there was another din that it belonged to that Shevet, and it was divided amongst the individual members of that Shevet. So when the Gemara has a dispute, and we paskin, Yishalayim, Lenis Chelka Lishvot, and perhaps that means in the Dini Mamedis aspect, it wasn't given over to Shevet Yehud and Shevet Binyamin and Hilchos Dini Mamedis that they should have the right to divide it up amongst the Yechidim. But that it was divided, that this is called Chelka Shal Yehud and that's called Chelka Shal Binyamin, that yes. Marshal, the Gemara has a din in Sanhedrin that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana have to be done in Eretz Yehuda. No, so if they did it, the Bez Nagadol always did it. The Bez Nagadol always convenes in the Beis HaMikdash. So if they convene in Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So it's Lenis Chalka Mishvatim, so they're not doing it in Shevet Yehuda. But they're not doing it in Shevet Yehuda, so it's a violation of the din that has to be done in Eretz Yehuda. The answer is no, it is part of Eretz Yehuda. As far as labeling that land, it is part of Eretz Yehuda. As far as Dini Mamanis is concerned, you say Lenis Chalka Mishvatim. So it's Nicha what the Gemara says, that they had to leave off part of them in Beth, because if they would have built it, that section would have been the Chelka Shel Yehuda as opposed to Chelka Shel Binyamin. Marsha has an interesting comment. I'm not Gemara in Zvachim Daf Nun Dawit, the Chidushi Agod in the tiny letters. He says that the Yehuda was supposed to be the Malchus. Yang Levin had said, Leos Hashem the Yehuda. The Yehuda is supposed to have the Malchus. The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want that the government should control the religion. That's the base. I mean, you have to have separation of church and state in a certain sense. He doesn't want that any speck of the Mizbeach should be the Chelka Shel Yehuda. Everything should be the Chelka Shel Binyamin. Perhaps that's the reason why Yerushalayim was mischalka between Yehuda and Binyamin. The Gemara has in the end of Sanhedrin, towards the later part of Sanhedrin, the Gemara has a machlokes amaraim. When you do a chalukah in Eretz Yisrael, they did in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Sheva Shekim, Sheva Shechilko for 7 years. And then Lotid Lavid is going to be a chalukah. It says in Sefer Yecheskel that Lotid Lavid only, by Shem, they never made a chalukah b'shvav. But Lotid Lavid says in the end of Sefer Yecheskel, going to divide into 13 parts, and the Nazi is going to take 1/13, the government is going to take 1/13, and then the tribe is going to take 12 chalokim, the other 12 chalokim. So the Gemara has a machlokes amaraim, came out the last daf, next to the last daf, two daf before the end of Sanhedrin. When you divide Eretz Yisrael, when you're holding by making chaluk, do you have a right to divide one city into two shvatim? And they say no. One city has to belong either to one shevet or to the other. You can't divide amongst them. The machlokes ni Gemara. I don't think we have any stock on it. It only happened in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. It's going to happen about HaMashiach. I don't think the Rambam has any psak on it. So the Acharonim is going to back of the Gemara, what's going on? What do you mean, can you or not? They did it. Yerushalayim was half Yehud and half Binyamin. How could they be a machlokes? So the answer is no, that's an exception to the rule. After, why was Yerushalayim an exception to the rule? So perhaps that's the reason why, because Yerushalayim al pi din had to be the capital of Eretz Yisrael, where the government would be. Number two, it had to be the Mokom Beis HaMikdosh. So the Beis HaMikdash had to be Dafka the Chelka Shel Binyamin, not to be the Chelka Shel Yehuda. Yehuda has to be the Mokom where the government is. So you had to have two different Shvatim, according to the Marsha. You had to have two different Shvatim in Yerushalayim. That had to be Miskalka the Shvatim. Had to have two different sections, one for Yehuda and one for Binyamin. We mentioned earlier a din, Machlekes Abai Verov, in the last Daf, the last Omen Beis in the first Perek in Har Yud, whether you. The prime of Menashe are two Shvatim only with respect to Chalukos Ha'aretz and the Degolim in the Nidbuk, because they were marching like an army to divide, to conquer Eretz, to divide them with respect to Chanukos HaMizbeach. It's only those things, but basically they're really one Shevet Yosef and all. And then they're always two Shvatim. One Nafkamina, so the Gemara has the one Nafkamina that Bava Rava argues about the Parham Dolosh of Tzivos. I think one of the Rishayim, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Rishayim doctor has a discussion when they had the Hayra Shor in the days of Benoist Tzlovko, the Chalbati Reshes Nachon in Mata Isavia, the Sisa Nachon in Mata Lamata Acha, they had a Hayra Shor, then until the end of the Shevish Achilku, Shevish Akosha, the Shevish Achilku, they weren't allowed to marry out of the Shevet. What if a girl was the Reshes Nachlo from Menashe? Who was Benoist Tzlovko from Shevet Menashe, no? Ben Yosef. Were they allowed to marry people from Shevet Ephraim? Is that out of the tribe or is that in the tribe? They're not allowed to marry Kohanim or Levim. The Shevet Levi, a different Shevet they're not allowed to marry. What about Shevet Ephraim? Is that out of the Shevet, they're in the Shevet? I think I saw in one of the Shemans that that's Tonin Machlokes Abaye v'Rava. That if you hold like Rava, if you hold like Rava, that it's only Linyan Nachla. The way the Rishonim quoted on this pasuk, he only got it. How do you say? Nesaticha l'kal ha'amim. Nesati l'chos ha'aretz hazos. Only with respect to Eretz Yisrael does he give him this this bracha that he's going to have more shvatim. So the nafkamina would be also for marrying out of the shevet. That was the high rosh shalom. I mean, one could argue that that's nachla, so it should be. So it should have the din like nachla. Could be. Should be. It should be the way you were saying. It should be that everybody should agree. I mean, that should not be talmid nachla, because Abaye v'Rava. It should be that everybody should agree. That for that din, for that hayra shor, Abaye v'Rava should both agree that has to do with Eretz Yisrael, with the chalukah l'Eretz Yisrael. It should be. I have to look in the Rishonim. I think they discussed it.